The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, October 26, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be flying solo for the first half of our show tonight as we are chetless here at Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. My partner, Jim Chetchesko, has some family school obligations tonight, so he'll be back with us next week. Fred Hugo will be joining me shortly for Fred and Butter Time. Fred will break down the NFC East games, and we tossed in Packers Falcons just for fun. Chet sat down with 76ers PA announcer Matt Cord earlier this week, so we'll discuss the Sixers opening the season tonight at the Wells Fargo Center as well. Of course, the Eagles beat up the previously unbeaten Vikings. The Flyers won 2 out of 3 this week. Temple won. Penn State upset Ohio State. Villanova won. The Pick'em Pool has yet another winner this week. It's been a great week in Philly sports, which leads us to Dallas Week. Before we get started with our Dallas Week festivities, we want to let our listeners know that we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question tonight about 7:28. We're still trying to give away the signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles tight end Trey Burton. So be the first person that calls and correctly answers our trivia question. The shopforkisses.org. Phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. Last week, we asked the listeners of our show and those that visit our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, to tell us their stories of why they hate the Dallas Cowboys. And you, the listeners, did not disappoint. Before we get to some of those stories, we put together a little piece of history of the rivalry that we think you're going to like. They first met September 30th, 1960 at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, with the future world champion Eagles beating the expansion Dallas Cowboys and new head coach Tom Landry 27-25. The Eagles went on to win 10 of the first 14 meetings between the teams, including November 6th, 1966, 24-23 game at Franklin Field in Philadelphia. Yes, I was there as an 8-year-old with my dad. This is the game that the Eagles star Timmy Brown ran back 2 kickoffs for touchdowns. The Cowboys, and Leroy Jordan in particular, got Brown back in the next meeting with a cheap shot that knocked Brown's teeth out and gave him a concussion. And a rivalry was born. The Cowboys under Landry got better with players like Dandy Don Meredith, Bob Hayes, Dwayne Thomas, Dan Reeves, and Calvin Hill. Bob Lilly and Jordan led what became known as the Doomsday Defense. This is also the defense that had 2 of the biggest cheap shots in all of football, Charlie Waters and Cliff Harris. All the while, the Eagles struggled, losing 11 in a row to the Cowboys from 1967 through 1972. By now, Dallas had become America's team with a new Texas stadium with a hole in the roof for God to look down on his favorite team. We had to watch the Cowboys every Sunday at 4 o'clock on CBS, which became known as the Cowboys Broadcasting System. The hatred was growing. There was also a new villain to hate. Navy's Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Roger Staubach was now running the Cowboys. They added another Heisman winner in 1976 draft with Pitt's Tony Dorsett and beat the Eagles 17 out of 20 times in the 70s. In 1980 under Dick Vermeil, that all changed, but the dislike of the Cowboys grew to a feverish level.
We want Dallas! Dallas! We hate you! Dallas! Right here! At the vet!
The team split their 2 regular season games with both winning at home, setting up a January 11th, 1981 NFC Championship matchup at the Vet.
Years back, when we were struggling to win 5 and 6 and 7 games, a lot of people used to take the Eagles for granted. A lot of guys have heard me say, never allow anybody to take you for granted. If the Dallas Cowboys are going to take us for granted, we'll whip their ass.
The Eagles dominated, winning 20-7, scoring early on this great run by Wilbert Montgomery.
Second down and 10, the Cowboys with 6 defensive backs. Jaworski gives off inside, running for Montgomery up the right side. Look, only 25, 40, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50,
50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, But don't be fooled. There were great moments like this one on October 25th, 1987, when Buddy Ryan got even with Landry and the Cowboys.
Well, they were one of the few teams that had nobody cross the picket line. They built confidence and closeness during that period, and a victory here today over Dallas certainly will only improve that. Now Cunningham's going to throw it to Cook, and it is in the end zone. 2 seconds remain on the clock. Francis had the coverage for the Cowboys, and the Eagles will have the ball at the one.
And the Eagles are, if you ask Buddy Ryan, did you try and rub it in? I don't think there'd be any question. Absolutely. He did not forget what happened 2 weeks ago when Tom Landry put Tony Dorsett and Danny White in the football game. Now, Tom's intentions may have been just to get his veterans some work, but Buddy Ryan obviously didn't feel that way. He said, to heck with it. Buddy Ryan may have just become Texas's public enemy number one.
In 1989, with Buddy Ball in full swing and a new bunch of villains in Dallas, namely new owner Jerry Jones, new head coach Jimmy Johnson, along with Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin, the rivalry exploded on November 23rd, Thanksgiving Day, with Bounty Bowl. Johnson talked about this rivalry years later. Of course, his treatment of Eagles by Eagles fans as well with Terry Bradshaw.
I tell you what fires me up. Great rivalry games. When I coached the Cowboys, my favorite game was facing Buddy Ryan and the Eagles. Buddy had one of the great defenses of all time, Reggie White, Jerome Brown. We were terrible my first season in Dallas. But for some reason, the Eagles put a bounty on our kicker, Luis Zendejas. To this day, I still have no idea why they wanted to hurt a 5'6", 160-pound kicker. So there we were, Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas. Sure enough, first kickoff, two Eagles went after Zendejas. He cowered down, got flipped in the air, and staggered to the wrong sideline. Kicker. I was so furious, I went looking for Buddy after the game, but he waddled that big old fat butt of his into the locker room. Bounty Bowl 2 came a couple of weeks later. Buddy told the papers he resented my fat comment. Made a crack about being no East Carolinas in the NFL and a dig at me, implying I beat a bunch of cupcake teams when I was coaching in college. I fired back at him. Yes, there are East Carolinas in the NFL. Unfortunately, we are East Carolina. Come game day, the Philly fans let me know how they felt. That's when they pelted me with snowballs. Terry was doing the game. They fired a few snowballs at him, too.
From 1987 through September 15th, 1991, the Eagles rolled off 8 wins in a row, with the last one being this one.
Comes away from one man, and they get him again. He's setting up, and he's sacked again. They've got him. Aikman looking. He goes again. They get him. He's under a rush. Gets away from one man, but back by Simmons, who gets him from behind. They are making big speed of the Dallas offensive line.
In Dallas, the Eagles sacked Troy Aikman 11 times.
The Cowboys followed that 24-0 beating by winning 7 straight games behind a new running back named Emmitt Smith. The mid-90s brought new coaches in Ray Rhodes and Barry Switzer, which led to this gem on a frigid day, December 10th, 1995.
A game known simply as 4th and 1. With the score tied late in the fourth quarter, the Eagles' defense made a legendary stand.
Eagles complete it if they stop the Cowboys here. They give it to Smith. He doesn't make it. They stop him. The Eagles take over on down. The Eagles take over on down. The referees are talking. We've got the problem. We've got the problem.
Oh, they're going to call the
2 minute warning, they're going to say it was no play. Eagles stop them once. Can they stop them again?
The Cowboys obviously now have the opportunity to rethink this and decide, yeah, maybe we should punt it away. And Switzer says, no, we'll just go for it again, which further drives home the point that these guys don't respect us.
Rhythm McNabb arrived in Philadelphia, and the Eagles won the decade of the 2000s for the first time since the 60s, beating Dallas 13 of 20 times in the regular season. The Eagles started 2003 in a new home, Lincoln Financial Field, their third since the rivalry began. It was at the Link on October 8, 2006, that the Cowboys came to town with a new enemy, public enemy number one, former Eagle Terrell Owens. Game that is still considered the loudest game ever played in the stadium. And yes, I was there. This happened while the Link literally shook due to the noise.
32 seconds left. The Cowboys are out of timeouts. And the Cowboys are 6 yards away from tying the game. Bledsoe back. He looks, fires for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted! Running with the football down the left sideline to the 50, 40, 30, 20. It's Lito Shepard raising the ball as he dives into the end zone.
Lito Shepard goes 102 yards, interception, touchdown, pick six. I was on the Eagles sideline, standing on the Eagles near the Eagles bench, and then the PA announcer plays the Boz Scaggs song. And every time that song plays on the radio, I think of Lito Shepard, 102 yards, pick six.
The decade of the 2010 dead even in the regular season, with both teams regrouping. 2016 brings two rookie quarterbacks into the mayhem in Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. From Timmy Brown, Dick Vermeil, Bill Berge, Jaws, Buddy Ryan, Randall, Reggie, Jerome Brown, Joyner, Andre Waters, McNabb, Westbrook, and Dawkins, to Landry, Meredith, Jordan, Staubach, Dorsett, Waters, Harris, Johnson, Aikman, Smith, Irvin, Romo, and oh yes, Jerry Johnson. Let the rivalry continue. As a follow-up, we asked the fans to give us their "Why I Hate the Dallas Cowboys" stories, and boy, did we get some. There seems to be a couple common themes. One is the whole America's team garbage. And two, with the Cowboy fans, they can't keep from running their mouths, even if they're family members, creating family divide at least for 2 weeks a year. Carl says, "This is personal. I have family members who are Cowboy fans. We cannot watch games together because they can't shut up. Comment on every play. Their team is always the best. It just doesn't matter. I have to hear about the five rings and all the great teams and past players. We have to schedule a holiday dinner around a game to keep it family. And they touch my stuff, which makes me crazy." And David Price added this, and it's a classic. "My mother is a Cowboys fan. I grew up in a Cowboys house. For years, all I heard was how great the Cowboys are and how Troy Aikman has a nice butt. I finally got the concept of football and saw Brian Dawkins play. I fell in love with the Eagles and have been a fan ever since. Every year the Birds play the boys, I deal with my mom running her mouth. So thanks to my mother, I hate the Dallas Cowboys. And our buddy Fred Hugo added, my dad is an Eagles fan and raised me to be the same. Of course, to hate the Cowboys. I started to hate everything that I had that had to do with the Cowboys. I hated the color blue. I trashed my blue pencil case in grade school. I didn't like to wear clothes that had those colors, regardless if it had to do with football or not. I hated Pepsi, the drink of the Dallas Cowboys at the time. I hated kids my age who liked the Dallas Cowboys. I hated my little brother, and he in turn hated me. He was a Cowboys fan. I think more to piss me off than anything, but it worked. He later converted, and we found other reasons to hate each other. I hated Jimmy Johnson the most and the Big Three year after year. I was pretty much a good guy all through grade school, but when it came to Dallas, I truly hated everything. There are too many stories to type here, but the overall disdain is just in me. Great stuff. We had a few comments that we had to edit a little bit just to keep it clean, but here they are, and you're going to like them. I remember this one particular game at the Vet. Danny White handed the ball off to Tony Dorsett. He scampered into the end zone for a touchdown. I think it was the second or third one of the day. And he did this thing when he scored. He would hold the ball up at the fans like he was rubbing it in our faces. I was sitting in the 700 level with some friends, and about seven rows below us, there was this Cowherd fan. Dallas and all, even number 33 on it. Time those thinking Cowherds scored, he would stand up and start waving his Dallas flag pennant, yelling, "Go Dallas, go Cowboys." It was that one day, that one game, that one fan that I believe swelled up the hate inside of me for that stinking, lousy, rotten, no good organization. With that said, fortunately, the game did end on a good note. No, the Eagles didn't come back to win the game, but that Cal Turd fan raised the flag once too often because one really pissed off Eagles fan ran past the Dallas fan and grabbed that flag. The stupid Dallas fan didn't let go of it, was dragged down a flight of those concrete steps, literally, where at the bottom, a few security guards scraped his bloody corpse up off the cement and escorted him away to the pleasant chant of, "Dallas sucks, Dallas sucks." And you're going to like this one, too. It starts out, and it's by our good friend Frank. "I loathe them. My dad said, you see that? That line raising up and down, and wait, there it is. 12, Staubach. Watch this bum now." And he flips the towel up onto the set back. Get it? We don't do that. That star is a scam, and you'll understand. I grew older, stories continue to those slime bags and those rings. Those Thanksgiving Day games couldn't and wouldn't watch in our house because it was then. Hollywood Henderson, the biggest punk of all. The Pearsons, Randy White, and the most hated man in my life. The man who had salt up his beep, Tom Friedman Landry, and that stupid hat and suits he wore. "We're from Philly, Slick. We don't strut that way. That feather in your hat? Yeah, we have a million that we glue up on New Year's Day. We are mummers. We are Philly. Class. Rough, tough class. Blue-collar fans that don't hide behind a stinking, rotten, good-for-nothing star. You come here, play hard, and give 100%, you win our heart. Heart is something you were born with, not something a billionaire owner can buy. I hate you, every fiber of my being. This is our week. This is Dallas week." And one final story that my buddy Ed Chambers reminded me of since him and I were together for this. If you remember how they had the string of 25 or so Port-a-Johns lined up on the sidewalk between the Link and the Wells Fargo Center, Ed and I were in line just behind a Cowboys fan in his jersey just running his mouth. We finally reached the front of the line, and Mr. Cowboy goes into Port-a-John. First, pulls out a newspaper to read. True story. The minute he got in the Port-a-John, the Philly faithful ran up and flipped the Port-a-John door down with him in it. No idea how that ended for him. When we went on our way, he was still face down. Needless to say, these are great stories full of passion, for this great rivalry. We appreciate you sending them in and letting us share. It was really fun to collect them. It was really fun to read them. And it certainly shows the passion of the true Eagles fans. So we have about 5 minutes. We could take a couple calls if you'd like to quickly chime in. Our shopforkisses.org phone line is 929-477-2855. And Fred, I think we have you with us already. You're going to get ready for the second half of the show. What did you think of our stories that came in, and what did you think of our little history class there?
I'll just get you fired up. You know, I hate – you heard my story. I hate Dallas, but you're hearing all the clips. And I remember I remember all of them, and some of them I wasn't old enough for, but listened to them. But one that really hit home was that T.O. game. And I remember – and you can even YouTube it if you watch it. Not the call with the announcers, but if you just watch the one person, I forget who it is, they video it on YouTube. And when Drew Bledsoe lets go of that ball, it's just silence in the whole stadium. It's just complete silence. And then, like, for that split second, and then Lito picks it off, and, like, it erupts in the thunder. You can just see it shaking. And, you know, there's times we lose to Dallas, and it stinks, but the wins are just so awesome. It's just a great rivalry to be involved with, and it's just something about Dallas. I think I don't know. I think it's more – I'll talk about it later, but just something about Dallas that just gets you going and gets the blood going, you know?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you know, I was at the stadium for that game with Lito, and as I mentioned, I was also at that game way back in 1966 as a kid with Timmy Brown, and I think that was the day, not the day that Timmy had his teeth knocked, because I was not at that game, but that was the game where I just didn't like Dallas anymore because we beat them. Well, then it wasn't, but next year, and they were playing Vince Lombardi's Green Bay Packers, and I always liked that bunch, so I ended up rooting against them, and forever and ever, I have rooted against them ever since. So that was my story. Well, hey, we do have a caller that's been hanging on here since the beginning of the show. So let's see who we have, and hopefully we can take care of him quick. Hello, who do we have? Well, hello,
hey, Bill.
Are you there? Yeah.
Bill?
Yes, who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's Frank.
Hey, Frank, what's going on?
Hey, listen, I got a little story for you that, you know, you kind of, the porta potty story was just phenomenal. I got to tell you, it's great.
True story.
Yeah, you can't make that stuff up. You know, it's beautiful. But I was, you know, I'm a friend. I'm an acquaintance with a couple guys that do sports talk radio. I send some stuff to Fred, and I was actually interviewed today on the Fanatic with Missinelli, and there was a. One of the questions that they had posed was, you know, why do we, as Philadelphians, hate the Dallas Cowboys so much? Or is it just jealousy? And I started to ponder this a little bit, and I just came to the conclusion, and what I told Mike today was, I was like, you know what? I said, this is something that you're born with. This is something that comes from within your family, and it comes from within your heart. And you can't fake that. But here's another, bear with me on this, because here's another segue that I went into with this the more I thought about it. And I was like, you know, because we could never get it right. I mean, all those years back there when Schramm was there, and then you have Jones coming in, and then, you know, you look back at us, and we had an owner who was a gambler, who pretty much, you know, dumped the franchise away. Then we get another owner that comes through, and he doesn't want to pay anything. He's making the guys pay for their shoelaces. He runs one of the best Eagle players out of town. But we just could never get it right. I mean, however, we don't have to have this gigantic mausoleum of a stadium, you know, where you got fans sitting down there, where the players have to walk through, you know, showing off. They got this scoreboard the length of the stadium where every single play is either watched up above or the people are on the phone, and that's why there's no excitement down there. They don't care. But I tell you one thing, if you ever walked in the vet or you walk into the link, totally different ball game up here.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, and I think you're right that during that time in the 70s when they were owning us for a lot of years, and I think that's when a lot of the local people, kids, became Cowboys fans. And fortunately, like Fred's brothers, some of them converted back. Of course, he wasn't in the 70s, but there's still a lot of guys that are around that were in that time. And I think it was because Dallas was playing for Super Bowls and the Eagles were nowhere close to Super Bowls. So I think you're right. Some probably was jealousy. And, I mean, we all want to hate on Rod Dock and all those guys, but they were pretty good.
Yeah, pretty tough.
No, I think you're on there. And it's not even much as – it's somewhat jealousy, but I think it's just that drives the hate and keeps it going is that front-runner mentality. Frank, you're right, too, what you said. It's just all these people, if you dig – go back to where the origin of when they started rooting for Dallas, if they live in this area – is they're a front runner, no matter what. No matter if it was your parents and you started rooting for them because of your parents, you go back to when their parents started rooting for them. It's when they were winning Super Bowls. And at least for my age bracket, through the early 90s, when my brother was a fan and other friends I had in high school, or as I grew up became in high school, other friends I had in grade school, they all just jumped on the bandwagon, jumped on the train. And I noticed as when the Eagles went through their successful period in Dallas – was really just losing and losing and losing. I didn't see really many young fans upcoming wanting to be Dallas fans. And I think it's that front runner mentality that not being from here, they've never been to Texas, yet they're all Cowboys fans. It drives me up a wall. And that's what makes me more madder than anything.
Oh,
you know,
you
I'll tell you what, here's something that disgusts me. And it makes my blood boil. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm sickened when I even hear the name. But when they lose and you don't hear anything from them, it's disgraceful. We will at least sit there and take our lumps and admit, hey, this guy's a bum. This guy's not playing right. This is the way it is. But those guys stick their head between their legs and they go off and they hide. And then you don't hear from them until something good happens, like right now.
I'm with you. All right, Frank. Well, hey, we appreciate you calling. Good stuff. You sent us a great story. And you know what? Some people may doubt that you loathe them, but I am not one of them.
No, sir. Have a good show.
All right. Thanks, buddy. All right. Well, Fred, it is trivia time. We're right on time, and we'll be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles tight end Trey Burton, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that can call and correctly answer this question. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. And Fred, I'm going to tell you, this is a drop kick. Like I said, even the old fat guy sitting in front of the TV with the bald head and the white robe can figure this one out.
You said that last time, and it was hard as crap. Well, not hard as crap,
oh,
but it was pretty
stop.
Difficult.
All right, here we go. Jordan Matthews leads the Eagles with 354 yards receiving after six games. Who is second on the team in receiving yardage? Easy, Fred. Easy. All right. Why the listeners are thinking of that, let's thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase brings cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Fred, it is almost time for your time. It's Fred and Butter time with our special guest host, Fred Hugo, joining us to provide a breakdown of this week's NFC East games. Fred, welcome back.
Well, it's a good another good week. Glad I'm on for some Dallas hate, too. It's always good to hate Dallas.
All right. Well, hey, we all were dead on in picking the Eagles to beat the Vikings, and I think we all surprised ourselves that we all three went that way, but or surprised each other. But we all won that. But those doggone Washington Redskins killed me again this week, and I just can't get them right.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm surprised you didn't play my little clip. As I predicted, Sam Average Bradford would return back to average, and the Eagles' defense would flourish. But I all think we agreed on the defense having a good outing. But as far as where we're at record-wise, it looks like I went 3-0 last week, back to my normal self, and I'm now at – I'm now at 15-7 on the year. You went 2-1, I believe, which brings you to 13-9. And Chet went 1-2, which brings him to 9-13. So that's where we're at.
Did he do any better in them Canadian League games? Do you know? Because he sure can't.
I didn't
pick
check,
NFL
but someone picked. I didn't check, but I don't know if they were joking or not. But someone commented on Facebook that he lost them too. So I don't know if that was a joke or serious, but.
All right. Well, hey, let's get this rolling. Let's start out away from the NFC East with an interesting game that we added since the Giants have a bye week. There would have only been two games. We added the Packers and Falcons in Atlanta. Then Washington goes to Cincinnati. And, of course, the Eagles visit the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
All right. Packers come to Atlanta. Atlanta's a 3-point favorite. The Packers are 4-2. Coming off a win last Thursday against the Bears, and Atlanta's 4-3, coming off a last-second loss to, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank because the team was, I watched it live, but Atlanta's coming off a loss and the Packers winning. The Packers have extra rest coming into this week, but they're pretty banged up. They had five players that did not practice today and three players that were limited, so that's eight total that are pretty much injured. It looks like they found a running back / wide receiver last week in Ty Montgomery to hold it over until Nile Davis is ready to play. Aaron Rodgers returned to form that we're all used to him seeing, or we're used to seeing him play, and he played very well last week. The Atlanta Falcons secondary is just absolutely terrible. I have the NFL Sunday ticket, so I was able to catch that game. The Chargers, that's who they played. So, and I'm watching it, and it was just unbelievable that how bad their defense was, that the offensive coach had to go for it on 4th-and-1 in overtime on their own side of the 50-yard line because he knew no matter what, if he gave the ball back to the Chargers, that they were going to score. Their offense, however, is the number one in the league. They're averaging 433 yards per game. This is a tough one. I think it's going to really – the Packers are banged up on defense. It's going to come down to the quarterback play. Matt Ryan's having a great year, and Aaron Rodgers looked better last week, but it was against the Bears. The Packers in this series have won 4 in a row. I think they're going to lose this one. It's going to be a very high-scoring game. I think the Falcons take this 38-24.
Okay. Interesting. Because I have about as much trouble with Falcons as I have with the Redskins, and it's been going on for years. I just can't figure that team out. I think they're going to be good, and they go and lose to New Orleans. Or I think they're going to be good, and then they go to lose to Tampa. This year, they're playing good ball. But you know what? Like Tom Brady, I'm not ever going to say I'm going against Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers, even though he is on the road. I'm on Packers.
Gotcha. The next game we
and
got.
Now what we're going to do, by the way, what we're going to do is Chet has pre-recorded his picks. So once you and I get through with our three games, we'll play Chet's pick and we'll picks and we'll make note of that.
Yeah. And on your Aaron Rodgers note, I was just thinking this, I've been following that train the whole year and I'm finally jumping off it. Like after that Dallas game, I was just like, you know what, man, I'm done with you, Aaron. You got to prove it to me. But, next game we're running into is Redskins at the Bengals, but the game is actually in London. The Redskins are 4-3. The Bengals are 3-point favorites with a 3-4 record. Last week, the Redskins defense choked up another one to the Lions. Cousins, though, actually had his best game of the season. He went 30 for 39 and only one pick, which I was just one. the Bengals are coming off a victory over their former offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson, and against the Browns. And now they're get to face Jay Gruden this week, who was their offensive coordinator, what would that be, like 2 years ago. So both teams are really very similar. Their offense puts up a ton of yards, but the offenses can't seem to generate points. And defensively, both defenses are giving up exactly 23.1 points per game. So points per game. So very similar as far as the stats go. On paper, I would say the Bengals have the better team and better defense. A.J. Green and Brandon LaFell are going to be tough to deal with for as far as the Redskins secondary goes. They may or may not be with Josh Norman. I'm not sure if he's going to play or not. He hasn't passed the concussion protocol. The NFC East, though, is looking to be the toughest division in football. And so far this year, when the Bengals face tough teams, they don't fare well. So I'm going to go with the Redskins here, 27-23.
Well, okay. I'm going to go because I don't like Marvin Lewis, and I don't like anything that really is going on in Cincinnati and haven't for a long time, but I'm going to be wrong on the Redskins. Almost certainly, I think I'm one win for the season. I am going to go Bengals at home, and only because they're home, but believe me, I don't trust the Washington Redskins because, as you say, they can score points and Cousins can play well. But I'm going to go Bengals in this one. So let's
the game's actually in London, though, Bill.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's right. They're in London. That doesn't matter. I'm going to take the Bengals.
All right.
Because I can't go for the Redskins because I'm going to get it wrongly.
Gotcha. They are tough, man. You go back and forth with them. I got a couple losses with them, too. It's like they just kill you. But somehow they're – I don't know. We know how that's been going. And then I guess we got our game of the week here, the hated Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles come in to play the hated Dallas Cowboys. They're 4.5-point favorites. Cowboys are 5-1 coming off a bye week. The Eagles are 4-2, knocking off the formerly undefeated Minnesota Vikings last week. So on top of the bye week, Dallas is also going to get back the defensive line pass rusher DeMarcus Lawrence. They come into this game with that offensive line, the best offensive line in football. Ezekiel Elliott's running the ball. Great for a rookie or any back for that matter. He looks like a star. That line is so eerily similar to that 1990s line that I was talking about earlier on my hate for Dallas. It scares me how good that line is. You also have the Dak versus Wentz factor, which really that can go either way. I think the Eagles defense will hold their own against the run because they do have a great defensive line. Cole Beasley is probably going to kill us. I think we're going to have the Eagles will focus more on the run game, and they're going to see if Dak can beat them. And it's going to be, you're either going to have to stop Cole Beasley. Also on the Eagles side of the ball, they're going to have to be able to run the football successfully to be able to control the clock. If Dallas controls time of possession, I think it's going to come down to time of possession. So if Dallas controls time of possession, they're going to take this. So I have written down here, Dallas 24, Eagles 21. But after getting hyped up in the beginning of the show, screw the Dallas Cowboys. I got the Philadelphia Eagles winning this 24-21.
I like the way you're thinking. I like what you're thinking. Well, I'm going to tell you, Fred, I'm going to go probably more with my heart than my brain do. But here's what I want to see. The Eagles defensive line and linebackers, actually the entire defense played so well last week. As you said, the Dallas offensive front is really, really good. Jason Witten is really, really good, and he's killed the Eagles for years. But what I want to see the Eagles be able to do to win this, going to see them be able to stop the run. And if they can stop the run and put pressure on Dak Prescott, who has not seen pressure yet. And here's my thing about Prescott. You know, he's all that. Everybody's got him as all that. Well, you know what? He was a fourth-round draft pick. he didn't come out as a top, you know, we'll call it a top tier, top five guy. He fell down to the fourth round. He is playing well, no doubt. But let's put him in some adversity. Let's see what we can do with him and put some pressure on him. But in order to put the pressure on him, you got to be able to stop the run first. So I think that's the key to the Eagles winning offensively. You know, they cut down on the mistakes. They got to catch the football. Got to be sure they can catch the football. And I think the defense, the Dallas defense, although they're pretty solid, they're pretty well. Rob Marinelli is an outstanding defensive coordinator, a good coach, and has turned that group around over the last couple of years. Sean Lee will be all over the place like he always is. But, you know, I think the Eagles have to be able to keep the ball out of the hands of the Cowboys, said, and the Eagles defensively have to stop the run. So I'm going to go with my heart, too, because I would not pick the Dallas Cowboys if it was the last game on the planet. So, but I am going to go Eagles 23, Cowboys 17. How's that?
There we go, man. It's going to be right. I agree with everything you said, by the way. Now it's chat right. time, I guess.
Yep, let's see what Chet had to say. See if he's going to step out and see he's not on to take the criticism and actually pick them stinking Dallas Cowboys. Here we go.
Hey, Bill and Fred, hope you're having fun without me there live. I actually got two of my three NFC East picks correct last weekend. A good performance for a change, and even better than my 1-1 performance in picking those two Canadian Football League contests. All right, we have three very tough Week 8 games to pick. First up, the Bengals and Redskins. I first thought this game was in Cincinnati, but it is, of course, another of those Sunday morning our time games in London. Both of these teams are middle-of-the-pack squads this year. On a neutral field, I have to go with who I think is the better team, and that would be the Bengals, 27-23. Packers and Falcons meet in Atlanta. This could be a fun, high-scoring game. The Packers are 4-2, but they haven't looked like the old Packers much of the time this season. The Falcons are 4-3, can put up a lot of points, but their defense is not real good. It's a perfect opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to continue getting untracked. I've gone back and forth on this one several times over the last couple of days, and I'm sure that whichever pick I make will backfire. That being said, I ultimately decided to make my pick by going with the home team, Atlanta. My prediction, Falcons 77, Packers 75. No, not really, but I am taking the Falcons in a tight, high-scoring contest. You know the NBC promo, waiting all day for Sunday night. Heck, we are waiting all week for Sunday night. Yeah, it is Eagles-Cowboys week, with first place in the NFC East at stake. The Birds, of course, did what they had to do to beat the previously unbeaten Vikings, but that one was at the link. This one is on the road in Big D, and the Cowboys' O-line is a whole lot better than the Vikings' O-line, and Dak Prescott is a lot more mobile than Sam Bradford, so a big blitzing game plan isn't as likely this week. But the Eagles' D-line does need to pressure Prescott, and maybe that will rattle the rookie quarterback a bit, we hope. I know Dez Bryant's expected to return to action. I know Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a handful. Like last week, the logical pick would be the favored team, the Cowboys in this case. But the Eagles over the last 4 weeks have lost twice as favorites and won twice as underdogs. Okay, here we go. Bill's favorite player, Brandon Graham, having a very good season. I think he's going to have another good game Sunday night and make some plays. Meanwhile, the Eagles absolutely cannot turn the ball over the way they did last Sunday. You're not going to get away with three or four turnovers a second time. Not going to happen. My prediction, Carson Wentz outshines his rookie counterpart, and the Eagles pull out a 24-20 victory. There you have it. Bengals, Falcons, and Eagles.
Well, how about that, Fred? We got to give hats off to Chet. He did the right thing.
Hey, you got to do the right thing there. His picks are identical to mine, though, so I'm a little nervous. Either I'm going to help him or we're going 0-3. I don't know.
Oh, boy. I kind of like that. It helps me get caught back up a little bit.
I think I messed up on one of his, too, based on what he said on his recording. So he may have one more win. I'll go recheck the old broadcast and make sure I get an accurate number there.
All right. Well, hey, Fred, another great job as always. Hey, you grabbed me a little bit. We're going to talk some Sixers after our Matt Cord interview.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, hey, we have a couple. As a matter of fact, we have about four more callers for the trivia question. Let's get the first one and on the call to see what we can do. Hello, welcome to the show. You have a trivia answer for us?
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, who we got?
It's Adam.
Hey, Adam, what's going on? You got an answer tonight?
Yes, sir.
Lay it on us.
I think Dallas Sprungs is second.
Darren Sproles.
Oh, Darren Sproles is second. And Fly Eagles.
Darren Sproles is second with 210 yards on 17 catches, including a 73-yard touchdown catch. You, Adam, or your lovely daughter, is the winner.
That's how we teach them around here, nice and early.
There you go. All right, my man, you have a quick prediction for Eagles-Cowboys for us?
I'm praying the Eagles are going to win, but, man, that Elliott, it's going to be a hell of a challenge, guys. But I think we're up for it, and fly, Eagles, fly.
Absolutely. Sound good, Adam. Appreciate it. We'll get this picture out to you real quick.
Hey, great show. I really enjoyed the history in the beginning of the show. There was a lot of things in there that I did not know, so thank you.
All right, man. Glad you enjoyed it.
Take care.
All right. Hey, Fred, let's go ahead. As we said, Chet had an opportunity to sit down with Sixers PA announcer Matt Cord earlier this week. We want to go ahead and play that. And then I want to get your take on the Sixers. You know, I know you've been fun throughout the preseason. You're now a partial season ticket holder along with some friends. You've heard D. Lynam on the show last week. You're going to hear Matt. And I want to see what you think. And I want to get your prediction on the Eagles, on the Sixers, and see how it matches up to the others that we have from Chet, D., Tom Moore, and myself. So we'll see what you got, Dave. All right, let's hear what Tom or what Matt Cord had to say. Chet.
Talking with 76ers public address announcer extraordinaire, and I might add, wildly popular WNMR DJ, Matt Cord. How goes it, Matt?
Wow, what a nice intro, Chet.
Just like you wrote it.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
But thank you.
All right, Matt. A new Sixers season is tipping off. The first three campaigns under Brett Brown, of course, have seen a lot of losses pile up. So I know they're probably not a playoff team yet, but I'm wondering, is there a different atmosphere at the center this fall?
Yeah, there's totally a buzz. I was at the Made in America concert this summer on the Parkway, and I've never seen more Sixer jerseys. And it's, the younger crowd. The demo is like a male, like, 18 to 28. Just all over the concert, like everyone with their Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Okafor, and it was really neat to see. So yeah, there's a really neat excitement. Wherever I go, people are always like, now it's like more than ever, like, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know? So
I know we're still required to use the word if he stays healthy, but from what you've seen so far, could Embiid turn out to be a dominating NBA center?
Absolutely. I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, I think he's got to be the odds-on favorite to be Rookie of the Year. You know, he could be like what Carl Anthony Towns is for the T-Wolves. He, stays healthy. He's not afraid. I see him a lot at practice, and boy, he just sits behind that three-point line and shoots jacks up threes like he's a shooting guard. He's got the greatest form for 7'2", monster of a guy. And he just got such presence and such grace and form. It's really neat to see.
Well, not sure exactly when it'll happen, but how much are you looking forward to watching Ben Simmons start his Sixers career?
I'm looking forward to it. I haven't really worked on his name yet, Chet, so I'm kind of relieved, because I like to work on the names first a little bit and practice them, and I haven't figured out what to do with Ben, to go up with Ben or go Simmons or Simmons, it's just something that usually that's what the preseason is for, so you can work on stuff like that. But yeah, so excited to see that guy play.
Well, speaking of your PA work, except for one season, about 5 years back, you've been the Sixers PA guy since 1997. I know you liked introducing Allen Iverson, but any other player whose name you especially enjoyed saying?
Mutombo, just because of all the syllables. I'm a PA guy, so it's like, God bless Eric Snow, but whenever he scored, I could do nothing with that name because there's no syllables. But with Mutombo, Dikembe, Mutombo, that was just, someone had Iguodala was fun because the guy does my audio, Lou, put the echo on. So it was Andre Iguodala, and then he hit the button, and he goes, Dala, 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 Dala. I mean, I still get we were playing Golden State 2 years ago, and a couple of the players at Golden State came up to me, and they're like, hey, can you do the Dala, Dala? I'm like, dude, you're the visiting team. I can't do that. You know, so Iguodala was fun. Jermaine Jones was fun back in the 2001 finals days. Even like Todd McCulloch. I mean, I used to love saying Todd's name because it was, he had a nickname, it'd be Big Mac. And Kyle Korver, when he hit a three, it would always be double K for the tray.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot.
Too bad Mickey Morandini wasn't a Sixer.
Right? Exactly.
Loved hearing Harry.
Exactly.
Hey, I know you're not quite as ancient as me, but did you get to hear Sixers legendary PA man Dave Zinkoff at all back in the 70s or early 80s?
Yes, yes, a few games. Yeah, I grew up here, so I went to a few games. Yeah, and Zink is just, you know, I would say he's probably the most famous public address announcer in any sport. Now, I know Yankee fans will give you a run for the money with, is it Shepard, Bob Shepard?
Yeah.
Who was their longtime PA guy, but think about it. Zink invented so many things for PA now. It's just, you know, incredible what he did and how he did it.
University of Massachusetts, number 6, Julius.
Like, with such ease, and he didn't care, and, you know, all his Zinkisms, and got the banner, he's got the road name after him, and my buddy, my neighbor Joe Conklin does a split-on imitation of him, so it's fun to, time I see Joe, he'll do a Zink. Joe came in when we were celebrating, I guess it was 09, one of the last games of the Spectrum, and they brought Joe in to do Zinkoff. You know, I did the regular intros, and then Joe did the 83 team, and Del Harris was an assistant coach on the Chicago Bulls. We were playing them that night. And Joe and I were sitting right next to each other. We each had our own mic. And Del walked up to Joe and goes, God, I miss your stuff. It's so good to hear your voice again. Thinking that Joe was Zink.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And Joe looks at me and goes, does he realize I'd be 100 years old? Because Zink died in 85, and I think he was 85. Or, you know, Zink is the man, without a doubt.
That is too funny. Hey, getting back to this year's team, I know you're looking for a big year from Embiid, again, if he's healthy. Who else is going to be scoring for the Sixers?
Yeah, you know, I think Okafor, I mean, we haven't seen him much in preseason, so they're slowly easing him back. But the thing with Okafor, I remember talking to Ish Smith about this last year. He's like, the only thing that can stop Okafor is when he misses his shot. He can get that shot every time he wants over anybody he wants. And, you know, so I expect a lot out of him. Covington's got a sweet shot. They can see more from Hollis Thompson. You don't know what Nick Stauskas could get on fire. The guy was the Big Ten player of the year when he was in college, and he was a lottery pick, so... There's a couple of intangibles there, but I think Okafor and Embiid will be your two, you know, big scorers.
It's going to be fun. Hey, Matt, let's finish up with a quick game of Fast Five. Five questions, five simple answers, okay?
Oh, God. All right.
Here we go. But number one, other than the run to the 2001 NBA Finals, give me one of your favorite Sixers memories from your time as a PA announcer.
Okay, easy one. 2002, the All-Star game was in Philadelphia, and it was Jordan's last All-Star game. And there was a point in the game where he had a breakaway, went up for a dunk, and he just missed it completely. He came up to where I was, and he just looked at me and goes, you ever have something in your mind, you're 100% right, you know what to do with it, and at that last minute, it doesn't happen? And I'm like, first of all, I'm like, Jordan's talking to me. Yeah. He goes, that's what just happened right there.
That's awesome. All right, number two, we talked about the Sixers this season. Who's going to lead the team in scoring?
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I think you're right. Number three, other than LeBron and Steph, any other visiting player you particularly enjoy watching when they come to Philly?
I like Paul Pierce. I've had a good relationship with him over the years. Every time he comes in, he's like, hey, don't forget, when I score, you got to say Paul the truth, Pierce. And, of course, you know, if anyone knows my style, I don't do that for the visiting team. So he'll come in, he'll score, and I'll go Paul Pierce, and he'll run down the court and look at me like, really? We have this back-and-forth thing. One game he came in, he's like, you know, if I get 30 points tonight, I become the 16th all-time scorer. And it was the fourth quarter. He had 2 points. He's checking in. I'm like, hey, Paul, I think we're pretty safe. He's like, really? You had to go there.
Nice.
But yeah, he's a good guy. He's a great guy.
I'd be remiss if I didn't hit you with a couple of music questions. The 2017 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations came out last week. Give me a band or artist not in the Rock Hall who should be.
Moody Blues, Warren Zevon, and The Cure.
All right. Yeah, I like at least a couple of those. And Bad Company and Yes would be on my list as well.
Bad Company, yeah. But Yes is nominated this year. So
yeah, and last year, so let's get them in there. And finally, Matt, excluding the annual MMRBQ, which is great every year, I've been to the last couple, what's the best concert you've seen in the last 2 or 3 years?
oh, God, I'm so blessed because I get to see so many.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot has to do with where you're sitting at a concert to make it a better concert. So I went up with Marissa from Preston State. It was the record company sent us up to New York City. We were front row, Madison Square Garden, about a month ago for AC/DC with Axl Rose, and it just blew my mind. He's just the perfect fit for that band. And to see Angus Young that close and that band just so tight. And the band, none of them ever changed their guitars. That's how old school they are.
Wow.
Like this day and age, you go to a concert, every song, a new guitar kit that comes out, and they sound great. He's playing the same guitar for, you know, 22 songs. So that and the fact that we were close and the fact that Axl sounded great, that I would think was one of the best shows I've seen in the last couple of years.
Tough to top that one. I've seen AC/DC several times, including once with Bon Scott back in 79. So that's
You saw Bon?
I'm old, I told you.
Wow, that's great.
AC/DC opened for UFO in 79. Great concert.
Wow. Not a lot of people can say they saw AC/DC or Bon Scott.
Yeah, that's true. Matt Cord, thanks for playing Fast Five and for visiting Philly Press Box Radio. Go Sixers.
Thanks, Chet.
All right, Fred. Well, you're getting the thumbs up on Joel Embiid again from Matt as well as D. What's your take on Embiid, and what is your prediction for the season? We've got a few to compare you to, so what you got?
I mean, you know me, since the draft, I've been all over Embiid, and the injuries kind of almost scared me a little bit, but I think, and this is a weird prediction, but people think I'm crazy, I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer, a Hall of Fame type player. I've been saying it, I can't really back down from that now. This season, I'm excited to see if him and Okafor could get a twin tower type thing going. If not, it's probably not going to work out, but we'll definitely keep Embiid. It's probably not going to be a lot of wins this year because they don't really have any scorers to spread the floor. And with Simmons out, no one to really spread the ball. Saric will do a little bit of that. He can shoot a little bit and he can dish. So I got, depending on if Simmons comes back. So if Simmons doesn't come back, we're probably right on 20 wins altogether. And I think if Simmons does end up coming back, that could equal maybe about 26 wins. So,
all right. Well, I'll tell you real quick where you fall. Chet B went 22. I'm at 20. Tom Moore, who covers the Sixers and is a frequent guest, was at 18. So you're at 20. And actually, I had taken 26 before the Simmons injury myself. So we're all right in there between 18 and 22 for five of us. So hopefully it's more. I'm up for the 26, I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting either way, and they'll get better as the years go on. So I'm excited for the future. Hinky, we trust.
That's it. Well, hey, we had another first-time winner in this week's Philly Press Box Radio Pickle Pool. A fantastic 12-2-1 record. Frank Kolachny visited with us earlier today. 12-2-1 is a heck of a week. And in the season standings, to win the signed Eagles Reggie White mini helmet after only, 8 weeks in the books. And remember, 1 week drops. Gene McCann stayed on top for the third week by one game over Jimmy Wilson. There are five others just 2 games back and 21 players within 5 games. That's a pretty tight. And we're only a third of the way into the season, getting toward that halfway, but a long way to go. Hey, and Chet will be back next week. We're excited to have a newbie making his first visit to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. Glenn Macnow will be joining us. Looking forward to that. So we can't wait to get Glenn on with us. And again, another note, we want to thank everyone for visiting our new website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com. We now have over 3,300 visitors in 3 weeks, and we can't thank you enough for that. Let's get our signing update at Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Carl's completed his private signings with Ron Hextall and Derek Sanderson. He's added the rifle. Reggie Leach will be at the store this Saturday, October 29th. And Ernie Perrant will be in the store in November as well. For all details, go to our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, and click on Carl's Cards and Collectibles banner at the top and go directly to Carl's website or stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road, Hertown, PA, or give Carl a call, 610-789-4996. You can also contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. So for as we get to the top of the hour, let's thank Ed Hugo, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of this show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, ShopForKids.org. Thanks for joining us.